edit and correct. These are harsh sounding words, words that can strike fear in writers. They think, I know nothing about grammar. I can't edit. Let me hire someone. And I retort, yes, but not yet. What do I mean by not yet? Why am I implying that you can do most of the editing and correcting yourself? Because you can. Be brave and try. This episode can help. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers, newbies, and veterans, and everyone in between. We're hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Rooms, all from Writers, Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Each episode lasts as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, grab a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Resources and links are in the show notes. Visit us at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Now, on to this week's episode. Edit and correct. For people who are afraid to meet high school English teachers and remember their professor from college composition courses with agony, the words edit and correct inspire fear and trembling, procrastination and trepidation. As a former English teacher and professor, a maestra, as my Hispanic students used to call me, I want to reassure you that the earthquake-inducing fear and the trepidation that causes stand still and wait, those need not trigger your flight or fight reflexes. Most errors are a matter of slipped fingers on the keyboard, or a mind working faster than fingers can type. Of the rest, the majority are caused by being too close to the document, and even the English teachers and professors will miss those. The remainder need knowledge. Knowledge like a massive vocabulary. Knowledge of grammar and usage and mechanics. A pro English major, one who has gained a great level of experience with the rules and practices of English communication, not just a degree. That English guru can proofread the manuscript and spot virtually all errors and give guidance for corrections. Note 12, I didn't say they will correct the manuscript. That's for you to do. You need to make the decisions to accept or reject their proposed changes. The majority of the proofreaders you hire will not kill your voice by tinkering everywhere and altering what and how you communicate your story. A few will. You won't know to avoid them until you get your manuscript back. Note well also, I said virtually all errors. That's not 100% of all errors. That's the majority. No one, even English geeks like me, no one is 100% perfect. A few mistakes always slip through. For this very reason, you, the writer, deal with as many mistakes and flat-out errors that you can. And for this very reason, you enlist as many eyes on your manuscript as feasible for your financial situation. Don't tell these readers to change any element of the story. They are merely spotting typos and grammars. When you've done a great job as a writer, these readers will be captured by the story and forget to spot errors. Congratulations! Yet you do need to accept that you must proofread one more time. After everyone is finished, you make the final pass. So, before you send the manuscript to a professional proofreader, not an editor, you want a pro proofreader. Hire one. Or ask the line editor if they belong to the professional proofreading organization. I'm going to make a lot of cottage industry editors perturbed at me for that. My apologies, but people need a pro proofreader who abides by standards in the publishing industry. I used the term line editor. This is someone who proofreads. They don't touch the story. They should not tinker with any content. They might note a problem for you, but content and developmental editing is not their job. Just line editing. Line by line, as a proofreader does. Give them a sample page that you've deliberately screwed up, filled with misspellings that make another word, homonyms, which are different, like vile, V-I-A-L, and vile, V-I-L-E, fragments and run-ons, subject-verb disagreements, pronoun antecedent disagreements, and more. I used to provide my students a sample paragraph to correct and wash through online grammar checkers, about 10 to 11 lines. The online checker would claim only 7 errors in the long paragraph. Actually, the document had 7 errors in the first 2 lines. A sample of that sort is an excellent test. I won't share the paragraph. I still use it as a grammar checker test. If ever a grammar checker defeats it, and nothing I've tried has come close, then I will share it. Nothing comes close, though, because the level of artificial intelligence has still not reached the fluidity of the human brain. Let's turn now to the proofreading that every individual writer can and should do. We begin by achieving objective distance. I defined this term, as well as its needful purpose, in the last episode. Use the time while you're gaining objective distance to consider the next story that you will write. Our minds easily latch onto the new. 3 to 4 days working on a situation or scenario, on the main characters for the next story, the setting and special details, the teaser or main theme, these help to drive that other manuscript's words out of mind. I usually give myself a solid week, Monday to Monday. Last fall, I had a mini trip, 5 days with needed time for errands and packings before and laundry and errands after the trip. The trip was 3 weeks from the day I finished the draft, so I scheduled my first proofreading for the trip and accomplished it on the first few days. By the time we returned and the dust settled, I had more objective distance and had started the second proofread. That turned into a series of actual editing sessions, 50 pages each day, with additions to many scenes, a few removals, and a bit of enhancements, like motifs. All of those worked into the document. Then I corrected the manuscript and printed it out again. I work best on paper, not on the electronic screen. And if you're worried about the environment, I used recycled paper to print it out, both first and second time. As soon as I had the printout, I launched into an old proofreading trick of reading the manuscript backwards, last page to first. This takes words out of context. Any standard ruler will help our eyes from skimming the entire sentence or paragraph that's above the line we're reading. Reading in reverse is slow, but guaranteed to spot a lot of errors, such as typos. This method will not spot the grammos. For this reason, a pro with English grammar, usage, and mechanics is needed. Grammar we understand. Usage simply means how words are used. In a grammar book, this chapter covers problems like accept and except, lie versus lay, between and among, the different its, farther versus further, a lot as one word, because it's two words. We also have mechanics. That's simply punctuation. But anyone who has studied commas and the various rules associated with it will tell you that punctuation is not simple. Parts of it are not. Unless you feel very comfortable with rules, then hire a pro for this pass, focusing on grammar, usage, and mechanics. While the manuscript is with the pro, enlist additional eyes to look over and spot any errors that they see. Additional eyes are so essential because they may pick up what you alone and perhaps your grammar pro will not. Let me provide an example from a seminar that I attended about 7 to 8 years ago. This is a real-life example. The editor had provided snippets from outside writers for us to edit and correct. We were a diverse group in demographics and writing experience. The editor had worked in New York at a traditional publishing house before suffering downsizing in a merger. We received her business card and her brochure touting her editing business before we started. We kept spotting all the typos and grammos in the first 3 documents, which apparently frustrated her intention to prove that writers couldn't edit. She huffed and rattled her papers and wanted her handouts back. For the 4th document, she went to the bottom of her file folder. I remember this so clearly because she kept emphasizing her big New York publisher experience and offending most of us. She passed out the 4th document, and before everyone had one, a man in the first row snorted, then leaned back and folded his arms and didn't say anything else. The excerpt document had few typos or grammos and suffered from a lack of typewriting, too many unnecessary words, like we'll be going instead of simply go. The setting was Thanksgiving in North Carolina. In it, a young woman enjoyed the sunrise from the back porch of her grandmother's house. She received a call from her parents on vacation in San Francisco. They had called to wish her happy Thanksgiving as they had brunch at an expensive hotel. Did you spot the error? The editor asked for the first errors, and we started providing a few fragments and that kind of thing. Then, a guy, not the first one, pointed out a time problem. she asked. "What do you mean? It might be cold at sunrise in late November, but the girl's wrapped in a quilt and drinking hot chocolate." The first man snorted again. The second guy laughed, then said, "The East Coast is 4 hours ahead of the West Coast. That brunch must have been served around 3 a.m. The first man laughed and said he didn't know a brunch could be in the wee hours of morning. The editor picked up her Starbucks cup and stalked out. And that's one of the reasons that I primarily remember. I've never had someone leave a seminar course. I relate to this story for two reasons, neither of which is related to mockery of the editor. First, life experience is so important. Everyone has life experience, just different ways that they approach it. And life experience is just as important when editing as a knowledge of English grammar, usage, and mechanics is. We just have to edit with our logical brains turned on. Second, many eyes spot errors. Several people in that room, of over 30 people, hadn't spotted the time error. The editor obviously hadn't. That poor writer hadn't. We need many eyes. We can't spot everything. About that pro proofreader, whether starting out or with multiple books published, many writers can't afford to pay a professional cover designer and a professional proofreader or line editor. My advice is to spend money for the pro cover designer. We have only a nanosecond to convince a browser to stop and read the book description. That first nanosecond should not be the only nanosecond. Unprofessional covers, amateur covers, those turn a reader off. Don't close the door to readers with your cover. Pick a pro designer every time. If you cannot afford a pro proofreader, then locate an old bitty English teacher, the kind you absolutely hated, and work a mini business deal with them to read your manuscript. I don't advise you to pick young English teachers. The only thing wrong with them is a lack of experience with the many errors of English. Those who have graded 15 years worth of essays have that experience. Offer a reasonable deal. Remember, they are still grading essays. Even if they have an online essay grading program, they should still be grading ones that are written in class on paper. That goes a long way in preventing plagiarism and cheating folks. Students who might successfully copy and paste other online essays or enlist someone else to write their at-home essay have difficulty circumnavigating the in-class writing. It can be done, but it's usually an infallible method of avoiding plagiarism and cheating. Experienced English teachers who still grade essays are the ones you want. Offer them good value for spotting typos and grammars. Don't offend their taste. Pay when they finish. And you're somewhat duplicating the job a pro proofreader can do. Last thing is your final pass-through. Don't automatically accept all changes offered by the pro and your enlisted readers. Judge each change. After all this, 4 passes of proofreading and 2 rounds of corrections, the manuscript is as near as perfect as possible. You will still find errors later on, and readers may point them out. Always thank anyone who points out errors. With your proofreading, your editing, and correcting done, we are ready to publish. That's next week. Publish entails formatting, converting your document into an acceptable form, which often can be a plain Microsoft Word document. Then we have to publish. We'll walk through the nitty-gritty details of publishing on Amazon and Draft Digital. As soon as we have a published link, we can create promotional posts, and all of that will be in the next episode. Inspiration this week comes from Eleanor Fuchs. She said, "It's hard to get from almost finished to finished as to get from beginning to almost done." Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by Emma Lee from Writers Inc. Books, assisted by Remy Black and Edie Runes. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Music is licensed through Audio Jungle, called Background Music Loop. Its creator is Alexander Polishchuk, known on Audio Jungle as Plastic 3. The music comes in different iterations. Show notes and resource links for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com when you have questions, comments, and speculations. We will try to answer you as quickly as possible. By the way, we will not mine your email address. That's rude. If you find value in our content, share with your writing friends or write a review. We're small beans here without the advertising budget of the big peeps, and you can make a difference. And whatever occurs, right on.